Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rabe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Jeopardy, everyone. Let's meet our contestant this morning. Contestants with an S, please. A retired musician who loved to play guitar, but also was spotted wearing NHL jerseys like the Montreal Canadiens, the Buffalo Sabres, San Jose Sharks, and the Columbus Blue Jackets when playing Beers League with his friends. He hails from North Bay, Ontario, Craig Rivé. Welcome to the show, Craig.
Thank you very much, Martin. It's a pleasure to be here today. Looking forward to this round of Jeopardy.
Our next contestant sat for almost 11 hours in the penalty box in his NHL career, and he did that willingly. It's not like he was told to go there. He just wanted to go for almost 11 hours in the penalty box.
Well, sitting on the job. I did that well, both in the box and on the bench.
His name's Andrew Peters. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Marty. I do have a strategy. Would you like to just ask me quickly what my strategy is? I'm happy to let the cat out of the bag.
What's your strategy?
Let Craig answer first because I know we'll get the full time while he thinks and he'll get the question wrong, so I have time to think about it.
Absolutely. Good strategy, especially when you know your opposition that well. Listen, there's three categories today. Category number one is retired numbers. Equipment,
five,
first overall pick. Those are the three categories. There's two questions per categories, a one-point question and a two-point question. I will be keeping score to declare a winner at the end of the show. We did a heads or tails before the show, and PD, you have won the toss. Do you want to pick a category?
I will go with jersey numbers for 2 points, please.
Retired numbers for 2 points. This number has been retired 13 times, the most in the NHL.
Dude.
Oh, BD. Yes. Andrew.
What is number seven?
No. Craig, would you care to take a guess on this number?
I'm going to go with number nine.
Number nine is correct, Craig.
Are you Googling got this? Points. I have a feeling you're Googling this.
Number nine. Here's the thing. Can we all agree right now that number nine is the most like used number in hockey for every age group.
So who are they?
You got Glenn Henderson, Andy Badgate, Johnny Bucek, Charlie Conacher, Clark Gillies, Adam Graves, Gordie Howe, Bobby Hall, Paul Kariya, Ted Kennedy, Lanny McDonald, Mike Modano, and Maurice Richard. Number nine has been retired 13 times. I want to see this next number is number seven with the likes of Paul Coffey, Phil Esposito, Tim Horton with the Leafs, Ted Lindsay, Rick Martin, Ari Morant. So you were close. You were really close. Number four is also a very popular number. But Rivs, with a 2-0 lead, would you like to pick the next question or category?
I can't even remember the categories, Marty.
Retired numbers, equipment, or first overall pick?
Let's do first overall pick for 100, Marty.
Okay. Haldo, he did not wear the team's jersey when drafted first overall. This player played all of his... Yes, Andrew?
Eric Lindros.
No, wrong.
Oh, Mario Lemieux!
The question.
Damn
this
it.
This player played all of his 915 NHL games with that team that drafted him first overall. Rivs.
Who is Mario Lemieux?
Yes, you are correct.
Excuse Rivs. Me, my beeper's not working. It went off. It went off friendly. Prematurely.
I put this question in mind knowing that somebody was
going to go this way. It's going off by itself. I can't control it. Can I get a new beeper, please?
Mr. Rive, you have a commanding 3-0 lead here. Would you like to pick your next question?
Yes, we will go. I'll give Petey a chance and go up a little bit and go equipment for 500, Marty.
Okay, there's only a 1 or 2 point question, but I will go equipment for 2 points.
Well, I want it for 500.
Make clear at the beginning.
Okay, here's the question. Although it has been disputed by other players in the National Hockey League, this player was the first NHL player to curve the blade of his stick.
Ah.
Oh, Mr. Rive, who is, what is
Bobby
the
Bobby Hull.
You are wrong.
I'm sorry, Johnny Gilbert. He didn't say who is.
He didn't say who he is, but he was wrong as well. Mr. Peters.
You were thinking Bobby Hall too, weren't you, Petey?
Yeah, so you lose the point.
Okay, Petey.
I'm not going to answer. I'm just going to choose to just not lose. He loses the point because he's wrong.
Well, you're minus three anyway in that way because had two questions wrong.
That's fine. But now he's down to 1 point, so it's a smaller gap.
Okay, so minus three to one.
Well, what's the answer, Marty?
The answer was, who is Stan Mikita? Stan Mikita was the first one, although Bobby Hall was with him in Chicago, and they kind of did it very in a similar way. Stan Mikita was the first one.
You know what? I want to redo on that because I don't think there's anybody in the world that would think that it wasn't Bobby Hall.
Although it has been disputed, there's other players.
I think Mikita curved it. Hull used it.
Now, the story is that
Let's
Mikita
go. Moving on. I'm winning. I just want everyone to know that.
Listen, the story is Mikita broke his stick in practice, and the blade stayed in a V shape, and he liked it so much that then he curved his next stick that way. Rivs, you still have the board. You have retired numbers for 1 point, equipment for 1 point, or first overall for 2 points.
I'm going to go equipment.
Equipment for 1 point. This is the main material that makes the hockey puck. Petey.
That was my beeper doesn't work.
No, it works. I heard it.
That's my beeper. I've said it before. Rubber.
It's not. Be more specific, please.
Black rubber.
Nope, it is wrong. You're down to minus four. Rivs, would you like to take a guess?
I'm just saying what everyone else is thinking.
Hard rubber.
That is also wrong. You're down to 0 points. It is vulcanized rubber. Vulcanized. We're looking for
hard
rubber.
Hard rubber.
Hard rubber.
That's the same, Marty.
No. It is not the same. Vulcanized rubber was the answer. Petey, let's switch it up. You get to pick now retired numbers for 1 point or first overall for two. Just so you know, Petey, you're down to minus four and Rivs has 0 points.
Still, who's keeping score?
I am.
So I'll go number one picks. I bet this is going to be Brian Laudon.
Okay, it is not. This player was the first European drafted first overall in 1989. He played for the NHL team, Rivs.
Matt Sundin.
Doesn't say it again. Doesn't say who is. How much time does he get?
Hey, Marty.
You don't get that much time on Jeopardy.
My thing was breaking up. Remember, my connection's really bad? I said, what is Matt Sundin?
Okay.
What is Matt Sundin?
Who is Matt Sundin? Rivs, I'll give you your points if you can tell me the three teams he played for.
Matt Sundin?
Yes.
I thought he only played for Toronto.
Oh, well, you're trying to give me the three teams, or I will give the points to PD because he'll be able to name them. The three teams Matt Sundin played for.
Quebec Nordiques.
Boom!
Quebec Nordiques.
Two out of three. Meatloaf said two out of three.
Quebec Nordiques went, well, Colorado Avalanche.
No, you are wrong. PD, who is the 13?
How many points do I get? I want to negotiate this.
You're going to get 2 points, and then
can I go back to even?
No, you would be at minus two, and Rivs would be at minus two.
It's another Toronto team, or it's another Canadian team, Craig. Yeah. It's on the opposite coast.
Okay, Vancouver, PD, you are Vancouver, correct. Vancouver Canucks. Okay, it is all tied up. Last question.
I would have never have guessed that.
You were in the league.
And this is a question that my son Jacob posed to me the other day, and I got it wrong. I couldn't figure it out. So you guys, first player to answer this wins the game. This player is the only non-active player in the top 10 in scoring in the NHL not to have his jersey retired by any teams. This player is the only non-active player in top 10 scoring in the NHL not to have his jersey retired by any teams.
I know. I think I know who it is.
PD. Well, it's for the win.
I don't know. I didn't. Who is Marcel Dion?
You are incorrect, sir.
Damn.
Incorrect. Marcel Dion, I'm looking at scoring.
It's a great question. Not retired by any teams.
Yes. When you know the answer, you're going to be like...
Well, Jagr, you got Gretzky, Lemieux.
Is Lemieux retired? Is Yzerman's retired? Is he in the top 10?
Yes, they're retired.
Are you sure Lemieux is retired?
Yeah, Mario's retired.
I mean, I'm sure. I mean, there's no...
Okay, Rich.
Do you really have to retire his number?
We need a guess. We need a guess.
He's got to be an old. All right, go ahead.
Okay, you guys. We needed a winner, and you said it, Rivs. You said it in your thinking. You said that player.
Jagr.
Jagr is the only player in the top 10 scoring non-active who does not have his jersey retired anywhere.
No way.
Pittsburgh, Florida, Philly.
How many teams
did Jagr
play for?
Calgary. Washington, the Rangers, none of those teams have Jagr's jersey retired. And he is fifth in scoring. Second in scoring. I was looking at the playoffs.
Doesn't require that kind of a tone, Craig. I mean, we're talking hockey stats here.
Marcel Dion does have his number retired. So the top 10 is Gretzky, Jagr, Messier, Howe, Ron Francis, Marcel Dion, Yzerman, Lemieux, and Sakic and Esposito.
I guess he should have known that, eh, Riv? That he's number two?
Yeah. Well, I'm the host of the show. Anyway, so I feel like we did not accomplish anything here because you guys are like minus two. Do you have a bonus
question to the bonus question, Marty? We can't go without someone winning today.
Okay, we will do a bonus question in retired numbers. I will make it up as I go. Okay, let's do this. The number 56 has been retired by only one team, the Dallas Stars, for this player.
My beeper was not broken there. My beeper was not broken there. That would be a Sergey Zuboff.
And Petey, you are the winner in today's Jeopardy, instigator style. Very
I'd like,
well
Greg,
done.
Greg. I'd like a back check. I think it was Stefan Robida. I'm just saying.
Craig put his buzzer down for a second. He was looking for it.
You know what? I could have. There is some different numbers here. If I had said the number 91 is retired by only the New York Islanders for this player, who would you have picked? 91, New York Islanders.
Well, you say it like it's not John Tavares. And
it was retired this past season, right before the pandemic ended, and John Tavares got to wear it before going to Toronto. He does he works on the NHL Network at times and also covers the Islanders as a color analyst for the MSG Network.
Okay, Brian Trottier?
No,
it's okay, but it's he was on those teams, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Butch Goring
is the name.
It is
Goring. 91.
Boom! I win Jeopardy.
No, that was the final.
No, Jeopardy. I win Jeopardy.
No, yes! No, you don't.
1-4-1, Petey.
This former Buffalo Sabre wore number 62 when playing in Detroit.
Thomas Vanek.
And he will join the show next Wednesday.
Oh, thank you for playing Jeopardy, guys. It was very
interesting. That was great, Marty. Well done.
Brian Trotch's number was 19 with the New York Islanders. That was retired. So I think we can safely say that I expected better with these type of questions. I thought you guys were going to do better, but it was entertaining.
Greg, you're next to host Jeopardy. We're doing our own little, I guess we'll call it audition here. Who's going to host the regular instigator Jeopardy?
Yeah, but like,
so you're next.
I won today, so it should be like, Who's going to stomp the ribs?
Sorry, Ken Jennings. I'm sorry, Craig Revey, I mean.
I don't know that you won, Ribs, although you did better than Petey by answering some actual question. You failed on.
So you're going to tell me that Petey wins because he didn't answer any questions at all and was in the minus.
I am.
He answered
Turd Ferguson. I am the Turd Ferguson of this episode right now.
You're definitely Turd Ferguson with the funny hat. You got a funny hat. It's a good hat.
Who was that?
Who was that?
No. I was about to quote the SNL thing.
No, Petey answered Vancouver for Matt Sundin, which was a very, very obscure question, and Sergey Zubov.
How did you know that, Craig? You were in the league. You might have even been in the Western Conference. Marty, what year was that?
What year was Matt Sundin? And
I remember he came back, and then I think he left, and he probably left because he didn't want to affect the point of game pace he was on. Because he left
in 2008, 2009, he played 41 games with the Vancouver Canucks, and that was his only season with the Vancouver Canucks after 13 years in Toronto and 4 in Quebec.
Point of game, go look at him. It's absolutely. Yeah.
987 over 980. No, actually, 1349 over 1346. But his better years were both with Toronto and Quebec, where he was over a point a game. And those, in 17 years, he was over a point a game.
I have a theory. He shut it down because look at those stats. They 41 games, 28 points. He's probably like, well, I'm at 1346 games. And I'm shutting her down. I got 1349. I go 5-6 games here with no points. All of a sudden, my games outweigh my points. I'm telling you.
Now he just becomes an average player.
No, absolutely. He's not a Hall of Famer at less than a point a game.
I'm serious, though. It's crazy, right? He was teetering right on the line of like greatness versus like, you know, yeah, he was, you know, he played a lot of games, had a lot of points.
How about this?
He was unbelievable.
Oh my God. He was
crazy.
Before
we go to break, PD, in the 1990-1991 season, Matt Sundin was seventh in Calder Trophy voting. Who won the Calder Trophy that year,
1990,
with the Chicago Blackhawks.
He played for the Chicago Blackhawks?
Yes, won the Calder Trophy in 1991.
Jeremy Roenick?
Nope.
Not Eric Daze.
No, he was a goaltender.
I
was joking. Eric Daze wasn't there yet.
Yep.
He's a goalie.
Yes.
Is he a household
name? Ed Belfour.
Ed Belfour won the Calder in 91. And then listen to this. Belfour was first, Fedorov second, Kent Hodge third, Mike Richter fourth, Rob Blake fifth, Jaromir Jagr sixth, Matt Sundin seventh, and Mike Ritchie eight. Those were the top eight rookie of the year candidate that year. Unbelievable class of rookies. Really, like, Ken Hodge had a great career, but like the other seven names are like all potential, maybe not Ritchie, but Hall of Famer right there. Unbelievable class of
Mike Ritchie. I think Mike Ritchie back in that time was drafted like third overall, was he not?
That season he was with the Philadelphia Flyers. And then he was traded to Quebec in the Eric Lindros trade. So, yeah, he was drafted.
I have a hockey card. I still have it. It's Nedved, Ritchie. Who else was in that draft, Marty?
In the draft?
I have a hockey card with Nedved and Ritchie.
We're talking the 1990. So it's Owen Nolan first overall, yeah. Nedved second, yes. Keith Primo third, Ritchie fourth, Jagr fifth.
Yeah.
The New York Islanders picked Scott Sissons. He played two games in the NHL at sixth. Daryl Sador seventh, Darian Hatcher eighth, John Slaney and Drake Berehowski. Those were your top 10.
Wow. Great job on Jeopardy, Marty. Darren Dreger coming up next, and we'll talk to him about return to play and what it's looking like for hockey to return as the January 1 deadline looms. There's the drama I'll bring for you today. Stick around. More to come. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary. We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, it's Friday at 11:30. Normally we'd have stuff to talk about, whether it was games, trades, who knows what, coaches being fired, GMs, whatever. I mean, this time of year, it's, you know, hockey's in full effect, and a lot of people say that by Thanksgiving, you know, the playoffs can be sometimes set for some teams, but that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about return to plays. Darren Dreger on the line with us? Yes.
Yeah, I'm
Dregs, every Friday, 11:30, TSN Hockey Insider. Darren Dreger joins us. He's on the line now. Dregs, good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
That's an easy one. That's an easy one. Craig brought something up at the break I wanted to ask you. From a media perspective, he asked JJ, our producer, he said, is Tom Brady getting roasted for not shaking hands with other quarterbacks? And I'm curious, from your perspective, what do you think of that?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I don't make much of it from a media perspective. You know, from a fan standpoint, I have an opinion on it. I would like to see it. I think that it's a show of good sportsmanship above all else. But from a media standpoint, the only time most of us engage in something like that is when it's acknowledged by an athlete or a coach. Right. If another athlete, a rival of Brady, has an issue with it, well, then it becomes a story. That's pretty obvious. If a coach goes on a rant or at least mentions that he felt like it's a show of unsportsmanship, then, yeah, I mean, it becomes a story. But beyond that, it's not that big of a deal for us.
Is it not that big of a deal because it's Tom Brady? What if Joe Burrow, the first overall pick, doesn't go over and shake a hand, or this Herbert young kid, or even Josh Allen after a loss?
Right.
Like, you know, why is that okay? You know, like, he's done it not just once, he's done it twice now.
Yeah, I don't think that Tom Brady gets a free pass. Maybe you guys feel differently. You know, given his career, has he, you know, earned a little bit of leeway? Maybe, but normally players of that magnitude, whatever the sport is, are thrust into the spotlight more than ever. And when I look at media, I don't think that there's ever been a time in history where there are more media because of the obvious, because of social media. So, you know, how do you draw attention to yourself as a media person, even though by profession that's not your job? Your work should speak for itself, but who's kidding who? You know, people are trying to develop their platforms, especially, you know, the reporters who are employed by the power of social media, Twitter, et cetera. You know, you're looking for big-name guys to screw up. So I would think, and, you know, I don't really have the facts to back this out, this is just judgment on my part and an opinion on my part, I would think that Tom Brady would be more susceptible and more of a target for the media in general because of who he is, rather than getting a free pass.
Interesting perspective. I appreciate you answering that. I was curious to know. I know it's football. I know we talk hockey around here, but I think in the end of the day, it all comes down to sportsmanship and just kind of all-around gamesmanship,
well,
too. Who knows what it could be? I just think he just doesn't care.
I don't think he cares either. Do you guys remember, Rev Hewitt for sure, the handshake between the Montreal Canadiens and the Boston Bruins when Milan Lucic essentially told Dale Weiss that he was, quote-unquote, going to kill him the next season? And I was the guy that created
that
story.
Dregs, we were working together. He told Alexi Yemlin and Dale Weiss, right, both of them, that he was going to kill him the next season. I was going to bring that up because that was a big deal.
But he
still
shook his hand.
After a series, you don't do that.
Well, but that
still
and
shook
look,
his hand, though.
You know, he did. But Dale, in the scrum, so look, as a hockey insider, I'm not a guy that just hangs in the scrums, right? Like, I mean, there are beat reporters. That's what they do. They need to get their quotes. They're under a deadline. They've got to hustle back and write their stories or get their stories to radio or whatever the platform. I like to hover and wait because if I have 2 minutes with a player or someone associated with that game, that's gold for me, right? Because I can get some inside information. And I hung back in that scrum, and I spent a couple of minutes with Dale Weiss, and he told me this story. And I said to him, I said, well, do you mind if I report that? And he goes, no, it happened. You can, he said, you can probably see it. Well, I tweeted out, and I'll never forget. I'm walking through the Bell Center, and all the reporters are in media row, and they're like, okay, yeah, thanks for doing that, because they've already got their stories half written. And now they've got to scramble to figure out how big of a deal this is. And the video was pretty obvious. You can see Lucic leaning in, and you know you can't hear what he's saying, but I guess we have to trust that what he said is what he said. So there have been times in history where you know the handshake or the ceremony around it absolutely has created controversy.
Instigators, Darren Dreger joining us. He's on Twitter. He's at Darren Dreger. TSN Hockey Insider. Give us the inside, Dregs. What's going on in the NHL?
Yeah, I wish I had news for you. I don't really. Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly, I'm told, spent a fair bit of time on the phone talking to the Players Association on Wednesday night about a variety of things. So I can't be more specific than that because, you know, I'm sure they're talking about everything, including the ongoing battle over, you know, whether or not the players are going to bend when it comes to the proposal made by the National Hockey League to alter the financial structure of the CBA. So what's, I guess, frustrating from both sides is that there are no plan talks between Commissioner Bettman and Executive Director Don Fehr. That was as a first thing this morning. No plans to talk today or over the weekend. And the longer these two sides go without hammering out some sort of compromise, if that is the end solution, you know, the more the calendar ticks by and you've got to push the start of the regular season away from January 1st and into mid-late January. I mean, that's just common sense at this point.
Greg, I have a bunch of questions. I heard you talk on First Stop with our good buddy Carlo Colaiacobo and Michael Landsberg last Friday about a sense that maybe players are starting to think that this was all planned by the owners, that they wanted to get the summer Stanley Cup going, so they agreed on something that the players were really adamant about, is the cap on escrow, knowing that maybe they were going to make a second ask before the new season were to start. Like, is this still being discussed by the players, or is this like kind of a making some noise early and then it died down?
Yeah, well, let's hope it dies down. There is that sense, and, you know, how could you, you know, question any player who feels that way? You know, you're 5 months removed from agreeing to a CBA extension, and the players felt like they were very giving in that agreement, right, including a 20% escrow for this year and a 10% deferral. And now from an ownership perspective, at that time when they agreed to the CBA extension, there were owners who didn't like the agreement. They thought that the league needed to push harder, get more from the player, because the expectation was with COVID-19 that the lost revenue was going to be more significant than what everyone was projecting at that point. And I believe that, you know, the National Hockey League, in this case the commissioner's office, thought, look, let's just get back on the ice. Let's run a successful return to play. Let's hoist the Stanley Cup. Then we'll take a break. We'll get our off-season business done. That'll give us opportunity to brace for a second wave of COVID-19. And hopefully, God willing, in January, we can return to play and at least have some fans in the building. And that's been the issue at this point. I think that, you know, Commissioner Bettman was hopeful 5 months ago that there would be fans in buildings in January. Now that seems unlikely at best, doesn't it? So the losses, even though they're ratcheting upwards north of a billion and climbing, are more significant today than they were 5 months ago. And that's the owner's position. That's why they've gone back to the player. But I can also understand the position of the player going, well, what has changed? You know, aside from no fans being allowed in the buildings in January, did we really think that was going to be the reality? So there's a lot of questions that are going back and forth, but not a lot of solutions or answers.
Do you think the owners right now are in a situation that if they don't get more of the pie from the players, that there possibly could be a work stoppage?
I don't get that from the owners' ribs. I don't. I mean, that's a potential reality. However, in saying that, I know that, you know, Don Fehr on his call recently with the NHLPA Executive Committee, you know, kind of put them at ease saying, well, look, if the owners choose to cancel the season and there are other leagues that are going, we feel pretty strongly that we can challenge that legally in federal court because, you know, the CBA does identify that the players can't strike inside the agreement and the owners cannot lock out the players inside the agreement. So could a case be made from a player perspective that this could be considered an illegal lockout by the owners? And if the PA believes that there is a case to be made, is that just idle threat at this stage? Or is that something that owners across the National Hockey League are mindful of and they're going, okay, well, do we really want that? Because if we were to lose a case like that in court and have to pay these players full salary, that would be no good. We do not want to do that. So I don't feel like that's reality. I don't get the sense from anyone that that's reality. I think that's good fodder for talk radio and for us in media to speculate on because it's a juicy sidebar story to what has been a perplexing, I would say, back and forth between the NHL and the NHLPA. One thing I know, fellas, both sides feel it's crucial for the league to play the 2021 season. So if we're to believe that is the owner's position, and I believe that, then does it make sense for the owners to say, okay, well, if you're not going to bend as a players association here and accept the, the more aggressive take back, if you will, from a financial standpoint, well, then we're just not going to play. I don't think that is a position that the owners really want to take at this stage.
Dregs, awesome as usual. Thank you so much. Chat with you next Friday and enjoy your week.
All right, fellas. You have a great weekend and can't wait for next Friday.
We can't either. Thank you very much. Darren Dreger right here every Friday at 11:30 with the Instigators on WGR Sports Radio 550. We'll be right back. Tyson, Roy Jones, who's taking who? Is it even a topic? Final segment coming up.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Final segment, and I just want to read this, I guess, and I want everyone to know this, that I was having fun at the expense of the age of competitors in the boxing match tomorrow night. But Sam tweeted us, he said, Mike Tyson nearly knocks Trainer's head off. You guys are way off on this one. Listen, I am expecting an entertaining boxing match. And I'm kidding when I talk about the age. I mean, it's obvious humor. I mean, that, I don't know, like jokes and jabs, no pun intended with jabs. But who are we taking here? I mean, Riv, I know you say you're not interested, but I don't know how you couldn't be. I don't know how you couldn't be.
I will take Roy Jones Jr.
No chance.
I don't think so, man.
Dude, there's 25-year-olds that wouldn't even be able to stand in front of Mike Tyson right now.
And why would you not think that Roy Jones Jr. is a guy that can handle Mike Tyson?
Last minute of play in the show.
This isn't 20 years ago, man. This is not. This is, we are talking.
I'm going to take Roy Jones Jr. I believe that Roy Jones Jr. is the smarter of the two men. I believe that Roy Jones Jr. understands that the first two or three rounds are the most dangerous times 10. Anything beyond a third round, I think Roy Jones Jr. is going to beat Mike Tyson because he is not going to have the stamina to go a long bout. He's gonna run away from him for the first three rounds. Mike Tyson's gonna get tired out, and it's gonna be over.
I think it's over in two rounds, but I could be wrong. We're out of here. They're counting the wrong way, Tan. You're supposed to count up when a guy's knocked out. Instigators, we're back Tuesday. Thanks, Marty, for everything. One Bills Live next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.